world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that I say off what you hear somebody else say on this program and check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put anything on your plate that don't line up with scriptures, well, you know what to do with that. Put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because we're getting it out of the word of God. And when we're getting it out of the word of God, then God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth when we are gleaning it out of the word of God, because God is indeed on our side. All right. Well, we thank our listeners for tuning in today to the Situation Room. And today is the day that we deal with marriage questions. We answer marriage questions today. And I have with me my wife, my lovely wife, my companion, my sweetheart for 31 years, Marion. Good morning, Marion.
Good morning, Pastor.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Just glad to have you sitting by my side. You make my job a lot easier.
It's good to be here.
Having my wife to help me answer some of these questions. We got some hot ones here today. We got some hot questions.
They're pretty hot.
Yeah. All right. Well, are you ready to try to answer some of these questions to see what we can do to help our brothers and sisters in Christ? Before we answer some questions, go to our question. Let me give our email address here at the Situation Room. It's Bible Way Irving. That's BibleWayIrving. @gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrving @gmail.com. So if you have any Bible questions or any marriage questions, we normally do marriage questions on Tuesday, and then I come back in the Situation Room on Wednesday and do some Bible questions. But today we're dealing with marriage questions.
We are. We have some good questions.
All right. On the march, get set, ready, go.
Go. I am at the point of calling it quits, but I don't believe in divorce. What can I do?
All right. Well, she says she don't. Well, we don't know if it's a he or she, but he or she don't believe in divorce, and that's a good thing. Because Malachi tells us that God hates divorce. Now, let's read that scripture, because some people may not even be familiar that scripture is even in the Bible. Malachi chapter 2, verses 14 through 17.
It says, "Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hateth putting away For one covered violence with his garments, said the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. You have worried the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we worried him? When ye said, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment?
All right, all right, all right. Back in verse 16, where it said, the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hate putting away. He hates putting away for one's covenant violence. But he said he hate putting away. He hate the putting away. Mm-hmm. And that word putting away is our word divorce. He hate divorce. He hate the putting away. And God says that when people get divorced, it's a spiritual problem. And so God says you're going to have to deal with your spirit. Deal with your spirit. And what has happened is people has become weary in marriage. Or they get burned out in marriage. And even God says, I'm getting tired of how they was behaving in the relationship. Well, that's what happened. People, they get burnt out in the relationship. That's what the book of Malachi is all about. It's all about spiritual burnout.
Okay.
And when you come to chapter 2, the people was so spiritually burnt out that they started trading in their wives. Mm-hmm. And God says he hate the putting away of divorce. Well, this person asks, I'm at the point of calling it quit, but I don't believe in divorce. What can I do? Well, there are several things I believe that you could do. Number one, ask God to show you your blind spots. Sometimes we're so busy looking at other people's problems that we forget that we got a problem too. Most of the time in a marriage, it's more than just one person who's at fault. One person may be 70% of the problem, 80% of the problem, but that still leaves 20% mm-hmm. of the problem of that other person. So ask God to show you those blind spots in your life, because sometimes we're just too impatient. So ask God to show you your blind spots. Then number two, confess the sin of pride, because pride can cause you to have an incorrect view of life. Remember the story of the prodigal son, Sister
mm-hmm.
Wilbert?
Mm-hmm.
We had two boys in that story, didn't we?
Two brothers.
One went away.
And one stayed home.
From home and ended up in the hog pen.
Right.
And then that was the one who stayed at home.
Okay.
But the one who stayed at home, he was worse than the one that left home.
Right.
Because he had a pride problem. Remember when the brother came home, he didn't want to welcome him back home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, Daddy, you know, I've been working for you all these years and you ain't never made for me, you know, a calf. You never killed an animal for me and had a party for me. You know, why should I come in here for, you know, this son of yours? He didn't even want to call him, you know, his brother. And the daddy let him know, you know, everything I had was yours. You could have had these cows anytime. But my son, you know, he was lost and now he's found. He was blind, but now he see. But the boy that stayed at home, he was blind.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's the person who seemed to be doing all the right thing that's got a problem.
Right.
Sometimes it's the person who's going to church that's got a problem. Don't always look at that person who's not going to church. The person who's not going to church, sometimes they may not want to go to church because the person who is going to church is a hypocrite.
That's majority of the time.
Yeah. So I find that a lot of times when you're dealing with marriage counseling, don't look for time the obvious problem. Look sometime for the problem that's not that obvious. And that's why you have to ask God to show you those blind spots. Ask God and then confess that pride and then do your part in the marriage. Most of the time when people get burned out, they quit doing what they know they supposed to do. No, don't do that. Keep doing what you know you supposed to do. Read over there at 1 Peter chapter 3. Get that, Sister Wilbur, please, ma'am.
All right, I got it.
All right. Read that starting in verse, what, 1? Starting in verse 1.
Okay. Likewise, ye wives, be subjected to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also without the word be won by conversation of the wife.
All right, you don't have to nag your husband. If your husband is not doing what he's supposed to do, it says that you stay in your lane. That's what we're talking about when we're saying submit. Submit. Be subjected to your own husband. Don't you try to take the lead. Stay in your own lane. Stay in your own lane. Follow the God-ordained authority. Still respect your husband. Respect his position as husband in your life. And the Bible says he may be won. So there's a battle. The devil is like a tug of war. The devil is pulling him on one side, and then you're pulling him on the other side. But how do you win? It's by the
conversation.
And that word conversation is the old King James word for behavior, by the behavior of the wives. So you're going to win him by your behavior. The other week, we was in the Situation Room, Sister Webb, and we was talking about temptation. And we said that a woman is tempted by what she
here,
and a man is tempted
by
what he see. What turns a man on is what he see, and what turns him off is what he see. So if she can win him, if she behave accordingly, but if she start acting ugly, behaving ugly towards him because he's behaving ugly, that's going to turn him off more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to have to continue to practice her faith, continue to be a good submissive wife.
Okay.
And the scripture says she can win him. And it gives us an example of this. It tells us how to do this. Keep reading that, Sister Wilbur.
Okay. While they behold your chastened conversation coupled with fear, who adoring, let it not be that outward adoring of plaiting the hair and a wearing of gold or of putting on the apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, even the ornaments of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price.
All right. So, go on and fix up on the outside, but don't stop there and just fixing up your hair and fixing up your clothes and fixing up the outside. Make sure you fix up the inside. Make sure you have a good spirit about yourself, because God is watching, and in God's eyesight, this is a great price. Read on, Sister Wilbur.
For after this manner in the old times, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adored themselves, being in subjective unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement.
All right, so Sarah called Abraham Lord. She called him, that was a title of respect. She gave him respect. And that's what men are looking for in their relationship. Men are looking for respect. Women are looking for love. So make sure, men, that you show love, and ladies, make sure that you show respect. Verse number 7.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
All right. Now notice what God says. God says here, husband, dwell with them. Stay there with them, but use knowledge. You got to understand your wife. Your wife is set up on a biological clock. And every day she's changing. Every week she's changing. And so you got to know what time it is in her life, so that you'll know how to deal with her. Some weeks, you're not going to be able to have a romantic evening or romantic weeks. Then other weeks you can. Then some weeks you can talk to her and have and discuss business. Other weeks you can't. So you got to live with a wife according to knowledge. You got to know what time it is. And God, it says, deal with them as the weaker vessel. You know, sometimes you get a package, and on outside of the package, it's a fragile handle with care. And every lady could have that marked on the outside of them. Fragile handle with care. Ladies are emotional creatures. And they can cry. They are very emotional. And so you have to handle them with care. And God said, if you don't, your prayer is going to be hindered. And so you don't want to get on the wrong side of God. And so make sure that, husband, you do your part in the marriage. Wife, make sure that you do your part in the marriage. Now, just read the rest of this, Sister Wilbur.
Okay. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contritewise blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye shall inherit a blessing.
Notice, you don't get into this tit for tat. Did you notice that, Sister Whipple? You don't get in that tit for tat. Two can play this game. Mm-hmm. No, cut the games out. The games out. And it says, rather than getting into that, get into blessings. Get into blessing your wife, husband. Wife, get into blessing your husband. Because that's what we are called. It says, knowing that ye are there unto call, that you should inherit a blessing. So we need to be a blessing, because one day we're going to inherit a blessing when we go home to be with the Lord. Read on, Sister Wilbur.
For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
All right, that's good enough. So it tells us here to watch your tongue. It says, let him restrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Most of the time, marriages get in trouble is because of what people say.
Mm-hmm. You can't take the words back.
Yeah, you can't take the word. It's just like a salt. Once the salt done got out the salt shaker, it's hard. If you took a salt shaker and just threw it out there in the wind, it's going to be hard to get every grain of that salt back. And that's how it is with words.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get them all back. All right. And so do your part in the marriage. Develop an attitude of praise also. And then pray for your mate. So what was those things there, Sister Wilbur? Because I said them kind of fast.
Okay. Ask God to show you your blind spots.
All right.
Confess the sin of pride.
Okay.
Because pride causes us to have an incorrect view of life.
And then number 3.
Do your part in the marriage.
Okay.
And number four, develop an attitude of praise in your marriage.
Okay.
And number five is pray for your mate.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's see. Can we get one more question in, Sister Wilbur?
Okay. This is a good one. I am attractive to someone else on my job, but we haven't had any physical contact. Is this wrong?
Yes, yes, yes. 1,000 times, yes. You don't have to commit physical adultery to have committed adultery. Jesus talked about that over in Matthew chapter 5. We won't have time to read that, but it's Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 28. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, you have heard it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, you got it right there. Go ahead and read it.
You have heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looked upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart.
All right. All right. Jesus says you done committed adultery already in your heart. So sin takes place not so much in the flesh. It takes place in the heart. When it takes place in the flesh, it has already taken place in the heart. So this woman is involved in an emotional adultery relationship. What often happens, Sister Wilbur, on these jobs, it starts with a look.
Okay.
And then it moves to a conversation. And then it they start taking their
breaks together, yeah, lunch together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They start the breaks together, lunch together. Then before you know it, they're
talking about their own marriage problems.
They're talking about their own marriage. They're sharing stuff that they shouldn't really be sharing.
Mm-hmm. And how they're unhappy.
Discontent. This is a married woman and a married man. Or a married man is talking to somebody else about their problems that they are attracted to. That's a warning. I mean, that's in the danger zone. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need to go and talk your marriage problem again with your spiritual head, your spiritual authority, your pastors, the elders of the church, the mature people, not somebody that you are attractive to. And then it won't be long before they start meeting after work.
Mm-hmm.
Then it won't be long before they at some hotel together.
True.
So, what should they do? What should they do? Several things. Number one, confess that as a sin to God. Confess that as a sin to God. That's the first thing that you need to do. You need to see that this is wrong. This is sin. Even though you haven't committed physical adultery, you have committed spiritual adultery, according to Matthew chapter 5, 27 and 28. And then break it off with that fellow. Break it off. Break it off. Go tell him that, hey, we can't be meeting no more, doing for no more lunch, no more breaks, no more. You just break it off, and then you pray and you ask God to heal your damaged emotion, because your emotions done been damaged. You're going to have to go and ask God to give you strength, because if you're attracted to somebody that done got in your spirit, and so you're going to have to ask God to untie a soul tie.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually, when you done got emotionally involved in the heart, your soul done been tied. So you're going to have to ask God to break that. Look at Psalm 51, and we'll read that, and then we'll close with that for today, Sister Wilbur.
All right, Psalms 51.
All right, Psalms 51. Start reading that psalm.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins.
All right. This is a psalm that David is praying after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He's asking God to clean his heart. He's asking God to forgive him. I'm recommending that's what this lady needs to do. She needs to take this psalm and even pray her way through this psalm. Continue to keep reading this, Sister Wilbur.
For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight.
Amen. Now notice what I like about David. He didn't call it a mistake or a slip up or an error. He called it
sin.
He called it sin. Acknowledge that as a sin, my sister, my brother. Acknowledge it as a sin.
When thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I have sharpened iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that thy bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
Amen. David want to be happy again, because sin don't make you happy.
Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me.
We don't have to pray that part today, because once you get the Holy Spirit, you forever have the Holy Spirit until God brings you home. But notice David says, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit. And that's what this person needs to do. Ask God to create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. All right, well, look like the clock on the wall is saying that's just about all for this portion of the Situation Room. Thank you, Sister Wilbur, for coming in today.
You're welcome.
All right, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being a part of our listenership today. All right, let me encourage you to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in music. So at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of sermon that I preached here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackle. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, we began to rebroadcast them. So listen to us the rest of the day, because we are in your corner in the Situation Room.